ABC did. Wow. Did something last night that I've never done before. You guys realize this morning is Time Change Sunday, correct? All of you got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, ran your clock forward, went back to sleep, and it shows on some of you, amen, that you lost an hour of sleep. I tried something new this year. I actually went to sleep an hour earlier. Did any of you do that? Am I the only one? Try it next year. It really, really works. Amen. It is so good to be here this morning, and I hope this afternoon you can get a nap. But listen, be careful. The reason I went to bed an hour earlier is I read this week that the day after Time Change Sunday, there are more accidents on the road and at work than the rest of the year. Please be careful if you drive tomorrow. Please be careful what you do at work. It takes till about Thursday, according to scientists, to actually make up for the hour you lost last night. You got your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at the first 9 verses this morning. Got to share a story with you that I reread. I think I've shared this story with you years ago, but I reread it this week in preparation for preaching this morning. And it's about the lady who wanted to go to Florida on vacation for a couple of weeks, and she was going to stay at a local campground there in Florida. And you realize Selise and I have been camping in Florida for several weeks this winter because of the sabbatical you gave us, and immediately this story caught my attention. But then I realized I had heard it before, so it must be true. This lady was an old-fashioned lady, and she was concerned about the facilities at the campground. And so she started to write a letter to the campground asking about their toilet. But she was just so old-fashioned, so proper, she could not write the word toilet in the letter. But she needed that information before she got there, so she thought and thought and thought. And finally, she decided instead of writing the word toilet, she'd write the word bathroom commode. So she got ready to write the letter, and when she got to the part to ask about the bathroom commode, she was just so proper, so old-fashioned, she just couldn't do it. So she just shortened bathroom commode to BC. Licked the letter, folded it, sent it off, and the owner of the campground a couple of days later gets this letter. And he reads about this lady who's wanting to come and camp with him, and for the life of him, he cannot figure out what she's asking about. She's asking about the BC. He spends quite a bit of time thinking about it. He just can't figure it out. Puts the letter in his pocket, carries it around with him a couple days, and finally some folks in the campground help him understand what the lady's talking about, that what she's asking about is the local Baptist church. So after fully believing that that's what she's asking about, he sits down and he writes her this letter back that I got to read, and the letter said something to this effect: "Dear ma'am, sorry for the delay in getting back to you, but I am so happy to let you know that we have a BC 9 miles north of the camp, and it seats 250 people at one time. If you are one of those folks who go regularly, I want you to know that many people make a whole day out of it and actually take their lunch with them when they go. My wife and I, on the other hand, we don't go that regularly. As a matter of fact, the last time we went, it was so crowded, my wife and I had to stand up the whole time. But we want you to know, money is being raised to add more seats to the BC. Ma'am, I sure hope you come and stay with us in our campground. And I just want you to know, the first time you have to go, I will be more than willing to go with you, sit next to you, and introduce you to all the folks at the BC. They are a friendly group of folks." Wow. I hope here at Hardin Baptist Church, we've never in our history miscommunicated about what it means to be a part of Hardin Baptist Church. But you've probably noticed the last 3 weeks, we've taken very seriously the discussion of reminding ourselves of the importance of church membership, of belonging to a group of people whose agenda is not their own, but their agenda is the kingdom of heaven. We've already discussed the why, the what, and the how of biblical church membership. And then we spent a Sunday talking about the church's commitment to its members. And then last Sunday, and man, many of us missed that message because of weather or weather concerns. Please, if you missed last Sunday's message, get a copy of a CD this morning or go to the website, listen to it on your app. But you must hear what we believe a member's commitment to the church is also. This morning, as we finish out this sermon series, it's not going to take very long because I think these first three sermons have covered just about everything we want to say to you about belonging to Hardin Baptist Church. But if you'll stand now as you open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, we're going to talk about moving from an attender to a partner. Moving from an attender to a partner. And we're going to open the door this morning because a lot of people have been asking, what do you have to do to join Hardin Baptist Church? Well, we've been telling you. And this morning, if you're here at the 8 o'clock service, we're going to open the door of membership to you clearly, openly, and boldly, and ask you to make a commitment this morning to move from being an attender to being a partner with us here at Hardin Baptist Church. Our passage that we've chosen this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth. Did you hear that? To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who are in every place called upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this next paragraph. Absolutely unbelievable. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end. Listen to this, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, God is faithful. But in the Greek text, it actually, for emphasis sake, says, faithful is God, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Father, wow, we're excited this morning to open the door of membership to Hardin Baptist Church. Not that it's been closed. But, Father, because of our multiple services throughout the day and our love of worship and our love of preaching and hearing the Word, most Sundays we just run out of time. Therefore, a lot of people ask the question, who've been coming here for some time, what do I have to do to join the church? Father, we've been trying to explain what the church is the last 3 weeks. And as we continue this morning, we thank you for those that are eager, excited, looking forward to the opportunity to join, to move from an attender to a partner. And Father, we're thankful for those who have been a member but have realized, whoa, I've not been doing my part. And how many of them have recommitted to membership. And Father, we're going to give those folks the opportunity also this morning to recommit to being a partner here at Hardin Baptist Church and doing their part. Father, we praise you and we thank you. Anoint us now to speak, anoint us now to hear, in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Hardin Baptist Church believes church is who we are. It's not where we go. As we get ready to open the door of membership this morning, please hear us say afresh, Hardin Baptist is not a place you go, but it's who you are. Therefore, our whole existence is about being, not doing. We do not believe at Hardin Baptist Church that being or doing determines being, but that doing reflects being. Therefore, everything we do as a body of baptized believers is a reflection of who we believe we are. The church of Jesus Christ. Therefore, our doing, our gathering, our connecting, our serving, our giving, and our going That's not performance. That is a result of our identity being the people of God. As we open our doors to membership this morning, we want to make this clear. Hardin Baptist Church has been given a mandate. The staff didn't get together, the church didn't get together and decide what we're going to do. From the Bible, we have a clear mandate, and that mandate is to make disciples, not just in Hardin, not just in Callaway County, not just in Marshall County, not just in Western Kentucky, not just in the state of Kentucky, not just in the nation, but we've been called to make disciples of all nations. We as a church will never vote on that. That was not suggested to us by God. It was given to us as a command. Many churches call that the Great Commission. Therefore, when we look at membership at Hardin Baptist Churches, we do not see membership as having privileges, but we believe membership is a privilege. Amen? Now, act like you didn't lose an hour of sleep last night. Amen? Here's our goal as we accomplish our mandate. We want to be like Him, not like you. I don't mean that negative, I mean that positive. But as we open our door to new members, here's what you have to understand, because this troubles a lot of people. See, individually, you are a part. But collectively, we are a whole. Does that make sense? Now, as an individual, you are to be who God has designed you to be. But He didn't design us to be like you. He designed us to be like Him. Therefore, our goal is to grow up into Him who is our head, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? So we want to be like Him, not you. Now that sounds negative. Don't mean it to be negative, but here's where a lot of members struggle. They do not realize that I, as a member, am a part of something bigger than me. I am a part of the body of Christ. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 made it clear. The body is not an eye, and the body's not a foot. The body is a body. Now, let me explain this. God has designed you as a member to be a certain part in the body of Christ. Let's just suppose you're a foot. The body's not a foot. It's a body. Does that make sense? Therefore, if you're not careful as a member in your individuality, you will see things from the perspective of a foot. But the body's not a foot. The body's a body. So therefore, our goal is to not be like you, a foot or an arm or a knee or a shoulder or an elbow or a wrist. We praise God you're the way you are. But we will not model our church after you. We will model our church after Him who we're all trying to grow into, and that's Jesus Christ. That makes sense at all? We, as a local church, are not a part of a large church that you can't see. If that were true, then we'd all be a knee. But we believe the Bible teaches we are a local bodied church, not a part of a larger church. There is a sense the Bible teaches where all of us make up the body of Christ, but yet every time that body's talked about, it's talked about in its locale. Amen? So here's what you got to understand. Hardin Baptist Church, in its entirety, is the body of Christ in His fullness. Wow. Is that cool or is that cool? A psychologist discovered a long time ago that one of the basic needs of the human soul is the need to belong. I don't know if you remember this in school, but in my school they had a pyramid and they had the basic needs that a human needed, like warmth and shelter and water and food. And then above that was the need for safety. And then above that is the need to belong. And what this psychologist believed was, unless your basic needs are met, unless you're safe, free from fear, you'll never belong. Do you know there's actually a part of the brain where there is a sensor that alerts you to danger? And when that sensor goes off, you either fight, you either flight, or you freeze. Psychologists call this, as long as we sense fear, As long as we're not safe, the part of our brain that functions is the survival part of the brain. This part of the brain is a little lower than the top part of our brain, and it's in our top part of our brain, especially the front part of our brain, where all of the thriving of a human being takes place. And so what this psychologist discovered was that once we are safe and we begin to belong, we can actually begin to feel good about who we are. And then that ultimate place of thrival as a human being is when we are living out, laughing out how we've been designed to be as a human being. And I thought, man, that's awesome that a psychologist discovered what God taught in His Word 2,000 years ago. Amen. You will never be all you can be as a part until you find your place in the body of Christ. Wow. Do you understand that truth? What we're doing this morning and throughout this day, and hopefully the rest of our existence, is opening our door and saying to those of you who are attenders, man, we hope we've made you feel welcome. That's the reason you come back. And then once you came back a couple of times, you began to realize, hopefully, that, wow, they accept me as I am there. Because we really do. You know you're a little weird, and you thought that would keep us from liking you, but hey, there's a bunch of weirdos that come to this church. That's why we accept you as you are. Now, there's another question you're asking, and this is what keeps many people from moving from being an attender to a partner, and that's this: am I really needed? And you know, sometimes folks come to a church that has four services, and they see a lot of chairs, they see a lot of faces, they see a lot of ministry, they hear the good report about the church, and they just feel like, wow, I may not be needed there. It's not true. This church needs you. And that's why we want to ask you this morning, passionately, without apology, would you move from just being an attender here to being a partner with us? Look at these first 9 verses. Paul, a called apostle by the will of God. In other words, he's trying to let the church at Corinth know, I'm not doing this because mama wanted me to do this. I'm not doing this because daddy wanted me to do this. I'm not doing this because I want to do this. I'm only doing this because God called me to do this. Man, that's what we love about the writers of the New Testament. Amen. We don't believe they had a personal agenda. We believe if they could, they'd been doing something else. But the reason they're doing what they're doing is because of God's call in their life. And he's writing to the church in Corinth, the church of God in Corinth. And then he defines the church there as those who are sanctified in Jesus Christ. Those who have been set apart from a life of sin to salvation in Christ. Those who have been set apart from being selfish and self-centered to those who now have Christ and serving as the center of their being. He said they're called saints. That word saint, now we've been preaching it for years. That's our identity. That's who we are. You cannot take the New Testament and make the church be a group of sinners who are saved by grace. There's not two kinds of people in the world, saved sinners and lost sinners. No, there's two kinds of people in the world, sinners and saints. Now, the saints can still sin, but the saints cannot live a lifestyle of sin anymore. Why? Because their old person is dead and they've been made brand new in Christ. Now, if we wanted to translate this word really into English, we'd translate it this way: the holy ones of Christ. Man, if you struggle with the word saints, you'd really struggle with being called the holy one. Amen? But here's who Paul's writing to. He's writing to the church in Corinth who's been set apart as holy ones. And then notice he makes this statement. He's not just writing to the church at Corinth, those who call on God there in Corinth, but he's writing to the saints everywhere. Man, even as a church here in Hardin, we are part of something bigger than ourselves. And I just want this to be said. This is not the only place you could join. Some of you are driving by some great churches to come here. We are humbled. We are honored. Now, if you're expecting me to say, we really don't know why you're here, we're not going to say that because we know why you're here. We know why you're driving by some of those other churches. It has nothing to do with which church is better. No, God has designed the church in each locale to meet the needs of that locale. And here's what we believe. We believe the reason you're here at Hardin Baptist Church and you've been attending here is because of God in your life. And God's plan for you. Amen. Now, when you become a member of this body, here's what we believe. We believe we're going to join hands with other brothers and sister churches in Christ, because there's no way Hardin Baptist Church alone can take the gospel to every nation and to every people group and to every tribe, every tongue, every language. But we're going to join hands with other churches and do our best until He comes. Amen. Paul was thankful for the church at Corinth. I want to be honest with you. We're thankful for the church at Hardin. Why? Because we feel like we've been graced. We do not believe this church has been built on human merit or human personality or human effort. But we believe we are here by God's grace. We define grace as God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves, so that we can now do what He did, and that's be obedient to His Father. Amen. We are a church of grace. And because we're a church of grace, this is what Paul says to the church of Corinth. You've been enriched. Man, they're not just rich. They're enriched. And then one thing he says about the church is this. They are not lacking any spiritual gift. Man, we don't believe we lack any spiritual gifts here at this church. But here's the problem. We've got some attenders who have gifts that we need. But as long as you just attend and leave, we never have access as the body to those gifts. Therefore, we cannot be who God's called us to be without you. Does that make sense to anybody? Now, we're going to be honest with you. If you accept our invitation to become a partner with us, we don't have just an eye on the past and an eye on today. We've got our eye on the future. We believe our Lord is coming back. And can I say this? At 53, you need to know your pastor is waiting for Jesus to come back. That doesn't mean I sit out on my front porch and do nothing with my eye to the sky, but it means I'm actively engaged, you're actively engaged in being the body of Christ, because we believe one day it's going to be over, and when it's over, the only thing that matters, the only thing that matters is what you did with Jesus Christ. Amen? And all our conversations about all those other things, unless it led to the conversation about Jesus, it didn't matter. Look at verse 9. Faithful is God who called you into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. Scholars debate whether this is talking about called into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ or called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ, which would be the church. You know what I love about this verse? Doesn't matter which way you interpret it. Because when God called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, guess what? Christ came with a family. Amen? I've heard Corey say this before, but Finley didn't have a choice about Crowder. Poor G. He's got a Crowder and a Finn, and he had no choice in the matter. And here's what we got to understand as Christians. We don't have a choice in this matter. See, the Bible doesn't say you were invited to join the fellowship. I am so tired of Christianity being presented as an invitation you can decline. It's not what this word means. This word called means it's a summon to respond to. The King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, has summoned you and I into a relationship with His Son and into a relationship with other brothers and sisters that make up the body of Christ. Not in a mystical way, but in a visible way. Right here in Hardin, Kentucky, you and I have been summoned into a fellowship. Quickly, this word fellowship started out to mean companion. It's where we get our word communion from. It means to have in common. But then it began to mean a community. And then by the time the New Testament was written, this word had evolved into meaning not just to have in common as a companion or a community, but to be a partner. Now, I want you to listen to this. Because of the way we've used the word membership in the past, when you think of membership now in Hardin, I want you to think of it this way. Membership means I am a partner. I am in a partnership. Damon, when he moved back to this area, worked at Westside Veterinary Clinic. Is that right, Damon? And man, he put in a lot of hours. And he got paid for the work he did. But then there came a time to where the other vet said, Damon, we want you to be a partner. And you're now a partner. Is that not right, Damon? Didn't things change for you when you became a partner? Wow. I worked for my dad and my papa all my life. And they paid me really good. Can I be honest with you? I didn't mind when we planted the crop and it didn't come up. That just meant I got to re-disc and replant. Got paid twice. Man, that was glorious. I mean, I had a car payment. I went on dates. I needed clothes. And then when Slice and I got married, each one of them decided to give me a share of their share. And suddenly Cunningham and Cunningham went to Cunningham and Cunningham with Ricky. They never changed the name, but all of a sudden, I'm not getting an hourly paycheck anymore. Whoa. For the first time, it started really bothering me at how much fertilizer Dad was putting on the crop. Did we really need all that fertilizer? Did we need to really plant all the seeds we planted? Did we really need to make? Because every time they spent money, it wasn't their money anymore. It was now my money. I never realized how important the price of corn was. You get the point? See, many of you are an attender. You're a consumer. Doesn't really matter. But boy, when you become a partner, it matters. Amen? It matters. You quit saying they, and you start saying we and us. You don't look at what they're doing anymore. You look at what we're now doing. And so therefore, when you become a member partner, here's what you realize. Wow, I've been summoned by God, and He's given me a share in Hardin Baptist Church. I have a share. I'm a shareholder. Now, you know why you're a shareholder? So you'll share with others. You know how you share with others? You share out of what you have with others. You do not share out of what you don't have with others. So as a partner, you don't wait till you arrive to start sharing. You realize, whoa, I am a part right now. I have a share, and the share that I have, I am going to share out of that share the way I've been gifted as a knee or an elbow or a wrist. And I'm going to share with others. You are valuable. And all of a sudden, in the safety of a body where you won't be criticized, you'll be given freedom to explore your gift. You'll be given freedom to ask that question. Doesn't matter what that question is. This group's not going to forsake you. If I can say this, doesn't matter what you do. We're going to be there for you. Then all of a sudden, you begin to flourish as a part. And as you flourish as a part, guess who flourishes also? We flourish as the body of Christ. Hardin Baptist Church as a whole cannot flourish unless our parts are flourishing. We need you to be a partner. And here's how I want to close. I want to ask you, are you interested in being a partner with us? Now, some of you are already members, but, whoa, you didn't realize the membership because you joined back when Brother Ricky was very immature and didn't know a lot. Here's what I'm going to ask you to consider this morning. To move from an attender to a partner, I need you to have a conviction about your call. If you're sitting right here in a seat, let me ask this question. Do you have a conviction that you've been called by God to be a part of this church? Therefore, when you drive 20 miles, or you drive by three other bodies, when you gather, when you connect, when you serve, when you give, and when you go, do you have a conviction that you're not here just by your choice, but you're here because of God's choice? And that's why you made your choice, because of God's choice first. Secondly, I want to ask you to make a commitment to your conviction. If your conviction is, this is where God wants me to be, I'm here because He summoned me here. Not because Brother Ricky gave me an invitation, not because Matt gave me an invitation, not because of but because of God, then would you make this commitment? As a partner of Hardin Baptist Church, I'm going to commit to gathering. I'm going to commit to getting connected. I'm going to commit to serving. I'm going to commit to giving. And I'm going to commit to going. Because the reason I'm a part of Hardin Baptist Church is so that we can make disciples of all nations. And as we grow down and we grow up and we grow out together, we do that by gathering, connecting, serving, giving, and going. And then I'm going to ask you to publicly confess your call. I can't tell you how many people have been saying to me, you know, Brother Ricky, you've been filling my heart. We've been supposed to join for months. We've been supposed to join for weeks. We've been supposed to join for years. Well, you know, that's really great. You know that. But it'd kind of be cool if you'd let us know that too. It'd be really neat if you'd change the way you talk to your family and your friends and your work associates. Because when you talk to them, you betray that you're just an attender. Yeah, I go to Hardin Baptist. Yeah, let me tell you what they do down there. Man, we really like what they do. Would you publicly confess, hey, I became a partner in what God's doing through his body at Hardin.
Wow.
And then kind of let the world know that Hardin believes, even as a body. Because see, most people in the union think we're pretty big. We don't see ourselves that way, do we? We see ourselves as part of something bigger, and that's the kingdom of God. But you know who we need telling the story? We need partner. So I'm going to ask you to do. If you're on the end of a row of chairs, there is a bucket. Would you reach down if you're on the end of a row of chairs? Member, attender, guest, doesn't matter. Just everybody, look, pick up that bucket. I need people that's close to that bucket to pick up. I've got your bucket, Jerry. Would you come get your bucket, Jerry? I'm sorry, I messed you up. Now, in this bucket, I'd like for you to pass it down and take a card and a pencil if you need one. If you don't need a pencil, if you've got one, leave the pencil in there. But would you just take a card? Now, this bucket needs to be passed down your row and the row behind you, okay? Your row and the row behind you. Now, I'm going to put my glasses back on. On this side of the card, it says, I am a member. If you're already a member of Hardin Baptist Church, but you've gained from this sermon series, we'd like for you to tell us, hey, I am a member, still want to be a member, and I'm committing to gathering, connecting, serving, giving, and going. Would you do that? Would you just sign your name? Ricky Cunningham, my email address, my phone, my address. Yep, I got a wife. Her name's Salisa. Children, nope, they're done moved out. Not my responsibility anymore. But down at the bottom, as a member, I'm saying to the church, hey, I'm committed. So here's what can happen. Corey Wayne's going to know that Brian said on March 9th, hey, I'm committed. So when we need a servant, when we need somebody, we know we can call on Brian. You're telling us, I take being a partner serious. If you're a member, do you hear what we're saying? Now, if you're not a member yet, but you're interested, would you fill out the other side? I'm interested in membership. And then just put you and your spouse, your email address. If you've got children and they're interested in being a member, put their names. And here's what we're asking you to commit to. If you've been here the last four Sundays, you've heard all the Belong series. If you miss one of the messages, we just want you to re-listen to that or listen to that. And then we want you to sit down with a pastor. Let me tell you why we're doing this. In the past, a lot of our folks have joined, and it'd be a while before the pastors of the church realized who joined, and then sometimes those people have slipped through the cracks. We think most people want to get to know one of their pastors. So what we're saying to you is if you join our church or start the process of joining our church, we as pastors want to sit down with you at your convenience. Hope you don't mind doing that. And then thirdly, we're going to ask you to come to a new member gathering. You won't be asked to do anything, but we just want to give you another overview of what you're getting into so that as a member of this church, you fully run with your share and help us be the body of Christ. Would you take just a minute to fill this out? And here's what we're going to do. Everybody filling one of these out? After you fill this out, as you leave this morning, there's going to be some buckets by the doors. Would you just drop this in the bucket? That way no one knows if you're a member recommitting or you're a new person interested in joining. Because, hey, if you become a member, it's not about you. It's about him, and it's about them. Man, we're so excited to have you go from an attender to a member, a partner with us here at Hardin Baptist. Amen. 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 Hey, next Sunday we start Route 66. I can't tell you how excited we are, but I can't tell you how scared we are. There's been Sundays we can't get through a verse, and we're going to try to get through an entire book each week for 66 weeks. There will be no Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, 4th of July, Christmas break. If there's a religious holiday and it doesn't fit in that book, we will not acknowledge it. Because we're going to be in 66 different books for 66 different weeks. And when it's all over, we hope we understand it's a journey from ruin to restoration. Route 66. Would you tell your family, would you tell your friends, would you tell your unbelieving family members? You got neighbors that will come for this series if you'll give them an invite. Amen. Next Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, Route 66. Have a great, great day. Don't forget to drop your card in one of our buckets. God bless you. Have a great, great rest of the day.